This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Babe, how would you say your social battery is right now?
Probably non-existent since having Bear, but it's slowly coming back and I'm almost ready to get back out there and host a game night, babe. It's been too long.
I'm ready for that too.
I would say after having a baby, we've been in survival mode and haven't had a lot of extra time for socializing, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we both know it's important to surround ourselves with community during hard times. So it's been a tough balance that we're trying to manage. We actually talked about this in therapy recently, and it's been really helpful to dig into.
We've been open about getting back into therapy after having our third baby, and it's been a great game changer for us. We recommend it to literally anyone, not just couples going through a hard season. It's a great place to learn how to set boundaries, communicate, and learn how to build a social life without draining your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is an amazing option.
It's all online, so you can do whatever fits best with your schedule, which is perfect for us, especially with three babies.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they let you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/EastFam today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
A podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through.
Today's topic is us as a couple learning something new.
And that we're going through.
Which is us as parents learning how to potty train our 2-year-old.
That's right. We were kind of lost, confused. We felt overwhelmed with the task of potty training. Which
so
they've been, you know, people have been potty training for thousands of years, you could say.
Thousands of years. So you'd think we would be able to figure it out, but we couldn't. So we went out and found the best person there is to teach us about potty training, and that is the potty training consultant.
Allison Jandu. Let me just give you some stats on Allison. So she's helped over 5,000 families through her program that has over 5,000 hours of research.
Yep. The wildest thing I learned about her is that she was originally a forensic scientist.
Yeah. And then she pivoted into potty training when she started having kids. She has a 98% success rate with her program.
Yeah.
And helped us understand when to start potty training, how long the whole process is going to take, what we need. And so thank you, Allison, for helping us. She also has a program that can help you. It's called Potty Training 101, mm-hmm. Where she goes through all the things that we learned so that you can as well and make the process as easy and approachable as possible.
And at the end of the day, make your relationship not have to go through the frustrations of, you know.
Whose relationship? You and Drew's or you and mine?
No, the spouses, the parents.
We have found it because of our being equipped with the knowledge to be a pleasant experience now. So anyway, we'll link all that information down below, including the Potty Training 101. And let's roll into this one with Allison Jandu. So ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to roll right into this. Let me introduce you to the one, the only Allison Jandu. You may know her as the potty training consultant.
Yes.
Allison has over 5,000 hours of evidence-based research. She's helped over 5,000 families in their potty training process, have saved over 5 million diapers.
I love that statistic.
Has a 98% success rate. So if you have potty training questions, you've come to the right place with Allison. Yes. Allison, thanks for joining us. We're pumped to have this conversation. And we have a lot of questions ourselves.
Yes, obviously.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm always happy to talk about potty training.
So before we get started too, we also want to say that Allison has an amazing online course that walks you step by step through the whole potty training process, like what products to use, how to do the whole thing. I literally was just asking her a question because we're having regressions with Drew. She keeps having accidents at school, which also makes me like so sad as a mom. I'm like, do you feel embarrassed? Do you feel nervous? Like, how can I help you? Whatever. So within this podcast, we're not going to give away all the secrets because we want people to go buy your course. But we want to learn more about you and your mom life and your life at home and how you kind of got started with all of this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think potty training consultant isn't necessarily what I wanted to be when I grew up kind of thing. Like, it was something that happened with motherhood. I'm a mom of two myself. So my kids are, my son Evan is 8 and my daughter Layla is 6. So obviously I've I potty trained them. And when I was working on potty training specifically with my daughter, because she had struggled with a lot of like constipation issues and things like that from the time she was like a baby. So my son potty trained pretty easily, but when it came time to potty train Layla, it was a lot more challenging. So I started trying to do like a lot of research and stuff online to figure out the best way to help her, because what we had, you know, the process that we did with my son just wasn't cutting it with her. And so I just started to try to dig into it, and I was like, where's the science on this stuff? Like I was searching for some kind of support, some kind of like evidence-based, you know, research, facts, like a resource that I could go to get these answers. And I just really wasn't finding anything. And thinking to myself, I know I can't be the only one struggling with potty training. I decided from that point that I was going to put all of my spare time into learning as much as I possibly could about potty training, early childhood development, human behavior, psychology, kind of all the important factors that go into shaping the potty training experience. And I just wanted to become that resource for parents. And I'm a very science-minded kind of person, so I'm not just out there saying, no, do this because this is what I did with my kids. Like, I really have dived into the actual science and research and stuff that's been done on the different aspects of potty training to find solutions, you know, that will work. And so hopefully that's what parents find when they come to my community.
All right. So our two oldest kids have been loving science experiments. We post about it all the time on Instagram. And lately we've been trying to find better ways to keep and continue their curiosity going.
Yes. And so I found KiwiCo with Drew when she was an infant, but have since graduated Drew and Jet, our two oldest, to like their science boxes, which helps them with like engineering, robotics, technology. And they love getting their hands dirty and in it. And the things that KiwiCo comes up with is amazing. So each month, if you subscribe or get a membership, you get a new box in the mail for your kid to open, and it's filled with goodies. I remember this as an infant, and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But now as a toddler, it's even cooler. They get to discover and build and create things with their science boxes that are amazing.
The activities are nonstop. You get to do things like engineering, robots. There's learning about science of ice cream. That was one of our kids' favorite. Yes. But they always do age-appropriate things as well, which is really cool and important. It allows the teaching and learning process to go really smoothly.
Yes. My favorite thing about KiwiCo is that their boxes are age-appropriate. So as your kid gets older, the boxes develop with them. And it also kind of tells you where they should be developmentally. I remember as a parent, it's when I started KiwiCo as a kid, like as an infant, I loved that it gave parents tips to kind of encourage the educational process for your kid. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your child engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
That's right. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code COUPLE.
I got to be honest with you. I have not felt like there's been many daunting things in parenting today. Like, there are definitely milestones and like, hey, I changed my first diaper, and like, it's all new. But for some reason, for me, potty training was like, I was definitely trying to delay that as much as possible because it felt like such a arduous process. I didn't know what to do. And there's all like this psychology behind it too, which is not everyone listening will have kids that are potty training or be interested in this subject at all. Yeah. But for those who do have kids who maybe are in the potty training process or are approaching that age, you'll understand that like there's a lot that goes to it. And that's one thing that I was impressed is as we've been through your course is like that there's a lot of components, and to execute these all well, like from the psychological to like the encouragement and then the actual execution of it and making it like clearly communicated to the kid and making them feel excited about the process themselves. There's just a lot to it. And as with everything as a parent, like you just want to make sure you're doing it thoughtfully. And that's what I appreciate about your course is like you having helped 5,000 people, you have wisdom that we would never be able to get on our own. Like,
it's true. And no two potty training journeys look exactly the same either. So I think it is helpful to have that kind of insight of having seen so many different things. Like, I don't think there's anything that I haven't seen when it comes to potty training, you know? So I do try to apply all of that knowledge and experience into what I teach parents. So that way, hopefully it's not a struggle and it can actually be something potentially that you enjoy, like that you get to enjoy doing with your child.
I'm giggling a little bit because I feel like for the most part, potty training Archer was fairly easy. Like, definitely.
Thanks to Allison.
Yes. Because really. you literally came in the middle of it. And I was like, oh, this all makes sense. But for her, it was not crazy. I had my frustrated moments where I was like, dude, just pee. Get on the toilet and pee. We're going to get in the car. I know you're going to, whatever. Right. But besides that, she was very good. I'm giggling at the idea of potty training our son because, and now, granted, I don't expect him to have any control whatsoever at the moment because he's just one. But the other day, literally took his diaper off, was trying to like give him a little bit of free time just because he had like a diaper rash. And dude walked straight to the mini fridge, opened the mini fridge, and peed in the mini fridge.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Like,
I had just changed his diaper. I was like, are you kidding me? He's just a wild one.
But that's the thing. You hear stories like going into it where you're like, hey, I'm potty training my kid and they smeared poop all over the wall or like they all over their crib. And it's like, dude, I'm actually curious, Allison, what are some of the stories, not to put you on the spot, but like the horror story side of things where you're like, wow, this did not go as planned.
Yeah. So, I mean, from more of like, I guess, you'll laugh at this later kind of standpoint. Like, definitely the kind of poop exploration phase with some kids can be kind of...
That's going to be our son.
Shocking to handle at first. So there's definitely a lot of stories I could tell about that as far as kids just, you know, finger painting, for a lack of a better explanation. Yeah, I know. Super gross. But kids are curious, you know, like they don't necessarily know that they're not supposed to do that. And they're like, what's this stuff coming out of my body? So, that's definitely in that obviously doesn't happen with every single child, but that can definitely be a bit off-putting with the process. I think the kind of the most like extreme or like worrisome kind of stories are where kids will just kind of withhold altogether. Like maybe they have some kind of, you know, deep-rooted anxiety surrounding using the potty or not having their diapers anymore. And they just start to kind of like hold in all their pee and poop altogether. And that can be very stressful, obviously, to deal with, because then we have to start worrying about like health related issues and all of those kinds of things. So there are definitely, you know, some extremes that you encounter during the process. But I think, you know, like what you're talking about between Drew and Jet, like it usually is the opposite between first and second kids. So prepare yourself for that. I don't know why that is, but it just does tend to be that way. But hopefully, like, he starts to see, you know, big sister doing it, and he'll, you know, pick up on it. He might be ready a little bit more quickly because he is getting that exposure through her. So it definitely sounds like he's comfortable peeing without a diaper. So that's you know, if you want to find the silver lining, like, there you go. In the mini fridge, obviously, we would have to redirect that somehow. But yeah, boys can be a different experience, not necessarily harder or easier, but between first and second kids, for whatever reason, it does tend to be a different experience.
I was going to say, something that I love about your program and everything that you stand for, too, is like the psychological side and the like childhood development side. I feel like we're finally getting into a generation where people are very like aware of that, and they're aware of how things can affect children when they're grown. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading this book. It was called 1-2-3 Magic, about like, for lack of a better word, disciplining your kid and how to teach the word discipline to them from a young age. And I got really nervous about that book, but when I read it, it was basically this psychology book for parents.
Right.
And it was teaching you the childhood development side of kids and how they're incapable of understanding certain things. And yep. usually it's the parent who needs to just take a chill pill. And what I love about like the psychology side of it is you're truly protecting the child. And I feel like for so many people, when it comes to potty training and discipline, it's like, oh, just rip the Band-Aid, just do it. And there's so many things that can go wrong and that aren't good for the kid. I've even felt it personally within potty training. You get so frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'll be sitting. I remember sitting there and Drew was sitting on the potty and she was just like living in her own little world. And I was like, girl, you got to go potty.
Right.
You just got to try. And then they get into that rebuttal phase. I lack of a better word. I can't. What's the word? Not refusal, but like.
Like resistance.
Yes. Thank where they're just like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just because I'm saying she should. And I remember she looked at me one day as she's sitting on the potty. She goes, Mama, are you frustrated? And I was like, yes. Yes, I am. I'm not frustrated at you, though. I'm frustrated.
Right. Right.
And it was just so cute. But
yeah, it can be a very, I mean, it's definitely a trying time, you know, because I think a lot of parents feel a lot of pressure to get it done. And you probably hear all these stories about like, oh, potty train in 3 days and like all this stuff. And then you get these kind of like unrealistic expectations of what the experience might be like for you. And then you start doing it yourself and it's not that. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? And it's not necessarily that at all. But I think that potty training should be, I always say that, you know, it should be something that you're doing with your child instead of to your child. And it's something that if you kind of involve them in the process, you'll see less of those power struggles. You'll see less of that resistance because it'll be like something that you're doing together, you know, instead of something that is being forced on them. So I think it's helpful also if parents kind of get into that mindset before you start the process too.
If you know me, you know I love cereal. Our whole family does. And growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But now that I'm older, I know it's important to watch out for empty carbs and extra sugar. So I took a little break there from eating so much cereal, but now I've tried Magic Spoon, and Magic Spoon has classic flavors and the crunch you love, but it has way less sugar and it's high in protein.
We love Magic Spoon in the East household. I always get the variety pack. It has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free.
It's pretty wild to think a cereal can be high in protein and low carb and still taste delicious, but it does. I love eating a bowl of the fruity flavor after a workout for some extra protein, and Sean here loves the cocoa flavor as a snack before bed. We think everyone should try Magic Spoon and taste the difference themselves. Go to magicspoon.com/eastfam to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code EASTFAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/EASTFAM. And use our code EASTFAM to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Let's take a minute to thank our sponsor this week, BetterHelp.
With all the holidays coming up, we all know how stressful this time of year can be, whether it's shopping, traveling, or just being overwhelmed by all the moving parts. I feel you. Trust me.
Yeah, it definitely can be a lot, especially as a parent. I feel like we all put so much pressure on ourselves to make it perfect for the kids and all the people in our lives that we forget what the holidays are actually about.
I agree. And we've both made it a goal to be more present with the kids and try not to let the little things get to us this year, which is why now more than ever, we're leaning in to BetterHelp.
That's right. BetterHelp has been so beneficial to our mental health. And we love that there are so many ways to chat with your licensed therapist. I use the chat option several times a week.
Same. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. And it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress.
So a couple things is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners, that's you, can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/eastfam.
That's BETTERHELP.com/eastfam.
We'll link it down below. Let's get back to it.
That's the wisdom is the one aspect that I think is just really fascinating about the information that you provide. And the empathy that you build mm-hmm. is the other thing. So like, again, for me, it was daunting. It was really like the first couple times, maybe like three times that she went to the bathroom, and then she kind of starts to build an understanding of it. But now it's become like this thing that it's exciting. Like mm-hmm. every time Drew will be like, I gotta go potty. And then we all scream. We're like, let's go. And it's like, she's excited about it. And then, you know, it's like a fun, I will remember this phase forever, because it's like been a memory now as opposed to like this, I don't know, scary thing. So it's great.
Right. Yeah. No, it really can be. And that's kind of something that I hope parents see if they take my course too, is that it doesn't have to be this like dreadful experience that you just have to kind of get through. Like, it can be a kind of cool bonding experience, because this is like a pretty major milestone. This is like a skill, obviously a lifelong skill, and getting to watch them learn that and seeing those gears turn and like things starting to click into place, I always found to be like such a rewarding feeling as a parent and, you know, as a consultant. So it's, you know, it can be a positive experience. It doesn't have to be something dreadful.
So you alluded to the fact that you didn't think that you would be a potty training consultant. What were your plans before you got into this, Allison?
Well, I worked in a lab. I went to school for forensic science, actually. So I have a very kind of strong science background. And, I was just working in a laboratory doing the science nerd thing. And that was kind of like what I always was drawn to. It's like the way that my mind kind of functions, I find. So, yeah, definitely didn't see it shifting into the potty training realm necessarily, but it's cool being able to apply, you know, my like kind of my natural draw to science to what I'm doing now, because I do think that it helps kind of clarify things for people. Like, I like to help people understand the why behind we do certain things when it comes to potty training, and instead of just saying, no, do this, I try to explain, you know, why we're doing it and why it's beneficial to do it that way and why that makes sense. So definitely have always been kind of a science-y person. And I don't know, if I didn't become a mom, maybe I would still be working in a lab somewhere.
Tying it slightly into the title here of a couple things. Did the research and data behind potty training actually help you and your husband navigate the potty training phase?
Yeah, totally. So I found a couple of really cool, I find them cool because, but like really informative kind of research articles that have been done about children who would struggle with poop related issues when it came to potty training. And we were able to kind of implement some of those strategies that they talked about, or, you know, things to avoid doing kind of to ease the process. And it did actually really help really quickly. So there definitely is merit behind, you know, this science and this research that's being done. And we were eventually able to get there. And as soon as we made a couple of small changes with what we were doing, the rest kind of fell into place really easily. So it worked out.
That's the other thing I love about the course: wisdom, empathy, and then the education. Again, mm-hmm. potty training, it could be such like a, I don't really care, like just get me through it. But mm-hmm. I found it fascinating. Part of your course that you offer is like this, hey, there's different ways to do this. We spoke about some people never put diapers on their, what is that called? They never put diapers on their kids ever.
Yeah. Elimination communication. Yeah. So
what?
Yes. That is, I don't think, Sean, I don't think you and I got a chance to talk about that too much, but yeah. So it's like where from birth, it can be as young as birth. I mean, some parents start it later on or whatever, but as an infant, parents will not put diapers on their child and instead toilet them or potty them just by like kind of watching their signals, their cues. Sometimes parents are able to kind of like train their child to like release with a certain sound that they make or something like that. It's wild. So sometimes like some families don't use diapers at all, and it's adapted actually, which it makes a lot of sense if you think about like where this originated from, because it originated from techniques used like over in the Far East, where obviously disposable diapers aren't as readily available over there to families. So, you know, they try to get their child eliminating waste in the most hygienic way possible without having access to diapers. And that's kind of what they do there. And it's worked for thousands and thousands of years for them. So it's becoming more and more mainstream over here.
Massive respect, but
in the US, I don't know. Yeah, it's very time consuming. Yes. For sure. Like, it's, you have to be very in tune to your child and like with them constantly in order to
well, and
to
you make think, that like, work. An infant pees like every 20-30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I love. That's one of the things I love about parenting is like it exposes such style differences between and it's like especially with stuff like hygiene and you know, potty.
Yeah.
Some parents can handle the situation and you'd be like, "Wow, really? That's you're not putting any diapers on the kid ever. I did not know that about you." And like, that tells me something about you. And that's it's just like not good or bad. There's no right or wrong way, but it is, it's like revealing to a certain extent, you know?
To go through a couple of like not hard hitting, but like the most common questions.
Hard hitting potty training questions. Yes. We're putting you on the spot, Allison.
but to give people a little taste of like what they can expect to see within the course.
Sure.
When, number one, I feel like is the number one question people would ask or get, is when would you recommend potty training a kid?
Sure. Like from an age standpoint, all of the research and stuff that's been done and the guidelines from like the American Academy of Pediatrics all suggest right around the 2-year mark as being kind of like the ideal age to at least start introducing the concept of potty training to your child. You know, obviously you can't nail it down to like one specific day or one specific month that works, and that age is going to fluctuate from child to child based on different things. But from an age perspective, the best science that we have for obviously, you know, neurotypical, typically developed children is right around that 2-year mark is kind of like the sweet spot, a lot of people say. So,
wow.
You guys, I was so nervous about having thin, broken hair after having Bear, but no joke, I feel like my hair is at its healthiest point ever.
I agree.
Thanks. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, even in the postpartum days. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones, which is really important to us. I've made it a part of my daily routine for the past 6 months, and I am so happy with the way my hair looks and feels. I've actually had people ask me if I've gotten my hair done recently, and it's funny because I haven't.
Mm.
Yeah. I started using the Grow Hair Serum immediately after Bear, and my hair has never felt thicker and softer. I also like how it's not oily or greasy, so you can use it on wet or dry hair. I signed up for the monthly subscription of the Grow Hair Serum, and it's nice because you get to save money on your order, and you never run out of the product. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Hair Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff really is. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/eastfam and use code EASTFAM at checkout. That's vegamore.com/eastfam, code EASTFAM to save 20% off your first order. vegamore.com/eastfam, code EASTFAM. Let's get back to it.
I know. Do you mind if you ask some of the personal questions, like the regression, like how?
Yeah. Like the question I asked you before we even started this was, regression wise, our daughter has done a phenomenal job potty training. She had very, very few accidents, and even if they were accidents, I almost put that more on us at the beginning because I would expect her too soon to learn how to come communicate with me. So I just wasn't checking in enough, but
right now as we speak.
Right now as we speak.
She's in a regression.
Yeah, she is in a regression where she started school and almost every school day, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, she has an accident when they go out on the playground. And so they have to like change and do all these things. And I'm just curious your advice there or wisdom.
Can I also just, the personal anecdote that just breaks my heart is Drew usually is so excited for school. And after the first day, I picked her up and usually she's like chatting about her friends and what happened that day. I'm not saying she's giving a full debrief, but like the first day I picked her up, she was super quiet and like staring out the window. And then we got a call from the teacher saying that she had an accident. And I was like, oh my gosh, like she might have been quiet. I don't know, because she felt like shame about this. And I was like, dang, my little girl. So anyway, if you have advice, we'd love it.
Sure. Yeah. No, I know it can be heartbreaking, especially when they have that kind of like maybe disappointed feeling in themselves. Yeah. And that's really hard to watch. But I mean, as a good thing, at least she obviously clearly knows that, you know, she made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And we all make mistakes, you know, as we're mastering new things. So it's definitely nothing to fault her for or anything like that. You said it's happening every time when she's on the playground. Mm-hmm. And that is like super common. Like probably the most common place for accidents to occur is when a child is on the playground or playing outside. And a lot of times I think it can either be because they're just too caught up in the fun to be able to listen to their body signals and, you know, take appropriate action to make sure they make it to the potty in time. Or also it could be maybe a lack of communication between maybe between Drew and the teacher. Like maybe she doesn't fully know that it's okay to be able to go back inside if she feels the need to have to go to the potty, and maybe she tries to hold it a little too long and she can't hold it anymore and she just ends up having an accident. That can happen sometimes too. So my recommendation would be, since it's happening at the same time every day, to try to just do a little prompt before she goes outside. Just be like, okay, before we go outside, we have to sit on the potty first. Have her use the potty, and that way, you know, she can hopefully empty her bladder then, and she won't have to worry about having accidents while she's out. It'll help kind of renew her confidence in using the potty and in other aspects too. So that would probably be my recommendation there. Probably wouldn't stress over it too much. Regressions are typically only a concern when you start noticing it happen way more consistently. So like if she was having accidents both at home and at school, if she was having more accidents than she was actually using the potty. So as long as she's still doing pretty good using the potty at other times, I wouldn't be super concerned about it. I think it's probably just something that she's going through right now, and something that you can probably resolve with just maybe having like a little meeting with Drew and the teacher and you guys, and just kind of getting down on Drew's level and being like, look, baby, if you need to, you know, use the potty while you're outside, it's totally fine. You can ask Miss So-and-so and she'll help you use the potty, won't you? And she can be like, yeah, Drew, of course, I'll help you. And maybe that can just kind of like help get everything out in the open and make Drew feel a little bit more comfortable about it. Mm-hmm. But also giving her the added boost of just say, hey, babes, before we go outside, we're going to have to sit on the potty first. And that will just get her back on the right track, I think.
When you take a step back, it is kind of the cutest thing ever. Like you're dealing with like little humans learning how to use a toilet. It's adorable. Mm-hmm.
And then you even are dealing with little toilets too. It's all
true.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a growing experience for sure.
It is.
Totally.
That reminded me of all the scripts and tools like calendars or like even a list of like treats you can have for your kid. You do a great job at providing all the information, putting it in one place so that you could focus on the kid and not having to, you know, Google this and then Google that and then pull this from that source. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that about the course, whereas like I really felt you gave all the resources necessary to set us up for success. So thank you, Allison.
Thank you. Yeah, no problem. I tried to do as much of the work as I could for you so that hopefully, like you said, you're just able to kind of, you know, implement your strategy and be able to focus on your child, and you don't have to worry about all these other obscure details. Like you can just have your plan lined up before you start, and I usually find that that tends to just make the process more easy, and it keeps you more committed too, I think, if you have a plan in advance, because you're like, nope, we decided this is it, we're going to do it. And it keeps you kind of from like flopping back and forth between, are we going to start now or no? Yeah. I'll just wait another weekend. Yeah. It kind of helps you.
That was us.
Just,
we,
yeah.
Well, we also, we probably started later, like after that 2 year mark that's recommended, because like Drew was in the Mommy and Me classes and the teacher was like, we don't want you potty training while she's also like alternating between who's kind of overseeing her. And you do talk about like, in those scenarios where that's a must, like how to keep communication coherent across all different groups. But I do want to talk about naps and nighttime. These are all from, like, we are needing advice right now. So how do we handle that, please?
Yeah, definitely. So I know out of the daunting, you know, process of potty training as a whole, the sleep periods are probably the most daunting, because I think a lot of parents don't know exactly how they're supposed to handle that. Like, are we supposed to just keep them in diapers until they start waking up dry on their own? Are we supposed to, you know, take the diapers off altogether? What are we supposed to do? And so I usually recommend doing a little bit of kind of like prep first to decide if you're actually going to start at least the nighttime portion of the process all at the same time, or if you're going to wait and kind of tackle that later. Because what ends up happening is, like, a lot of kids, especially as they're approaching potty training readiness, are actually starting to sleep through the night dry. And we just don't realize it because they pee in their nighttime diaper when they first wake up in the morning, which kind of gives us the false impression that they've been peeing all night long. There's no way that they're ready to sleep without a diaper and that kind of thing. But in reality, they have held it all night long and they just peed as soon as they woke up, like every human does. So doing a couple of like checks in the morning, so going into your child's room about 15 minutes or so before they wake up, trying to feel their diaper and see how wet it is at that point. If it's super saturated, then you're okay to wait and do the nighttime portion of the process later. But you might be pleasantly surprised and find that they're dry or mostly dry at that time. And then it's an easier decision to just kind of dive in for consistency's sake and say, we'll just say goodbye to all the diapers. So that way the expectations are clear that all pee and poop are going to go in the potty now. And it just, you know, makes the process tend to go a lot more quickly, efficiently, whatever. For nap time specifically, I do recommend getting rid of the diapers for naps from the very beginning, just so that you know you don't have any diapers during the day at all. And what this does, again, is it sends a clear expectation that, nope, we're using the potty, we're not using a diaper. And it keeps your child from potentially just kind of like holding their pee and poop until they get access to the nap time diaper. And that can kind of be a hard habit to break. So it helps prevent confusion from them, like, wait, do they want me to use the potty or do they want me to wait for my diaper? And then it also just, you know, kind of streamlines the whole process.
Thank you.
1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled babbel.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sean, I have more did you hear all that, Sean? Did you
I have more questions. Wait, we haven't been on separate pages here.
No. Okay.
Have we?
No, just the nap time. Sometimes it is like, it's definitely easier to just put a diaper on.
Oh, for sure.
It's definitely easier.
Yeah. Okay, so we didn't do that. We did the potty training outside of crib time. Crib time is diaper time.
Sure.
And I will say, though, usually in nap, she wakes up dry, completely dry.
Yeah.
And then we'll go potty. She's woken up a few times in the morning dry, but I do think she does tend to, like, go potty as soon as she wakes up.
Yeah.
But the question that I have is, she is still a crib sleeper. She still sleeps in the crib, loves her crib.
Yeah.
And is it okay to pull the diaper when you don't have a bed that she has access to a potty in?
That's a great question. And I think a lot of parents are confused about that, like, because a lot of the sleep guidelines are like, keep them in the crib until they're at least 3 years old. And that conflicts, obviously, with our readiness age for potty training of 2 years old. So do we have to wait to start potty training until they're three and they're out of their crib? Like, what do we do? But actually, not much changes if they're in the crib versus sleeping in their own bed. I recommend having like a little kind of potty station in their room where you can just keep like a little floor potty, like on top of a towel with some, you know, clean clothes and some toilet paper, so that if they have to go potty in the night, you can just easily kind of lift them out of their crib, set them on the potty, and then put them right back to bed very quickly. Most of the time I find that even if kids are older and they're sleeping in like toddler beds or their own beds anyway, they're still going to call for your help regardless. So they're not going to necessarily, it's very rare that they'll get out of bed by themselves, go use the potty, and then put themselves back to bed. So your level of involvement isn't going to change that much versus, you know, between crib versus bed. But I definitely would recommend having like a monitor or something in their room, so that way if, you know, you can listen for those first signs of them like stirring or kind of whining in their sleep that they might have to pee, and then you can kind of go in quickly and get them, because obviously lifting them out of the crib is going to take a little bit more time than just kind of scooping them out of their bed. So
can I ask, so like the 2 year mark is the average or standard, but what would be some special extraordinary cases for like a lot of these rules or timelines not applying for? And then I want to ask you, like, who is your information like generally applicable to after we conquer who it's not for?
Yeah, sure. So honestly, I'm not a huge fan of just complying with the age aspect of things. I think there's a lot of other factors that come into play that are more important when it comes to deciding when is the right time to start potty training. The age thing is obviously a good guideline. But, you know, there are certain signs of readiness that we want to look for in your child before actually starting the process. We need, you know, certain signs of physiological readiness, biological readiness, emotional readiness, social readiness. So there's a lot of things that, you know, might need to be in place that you don't necessarily see with your new two-year-old yet that would, you know, that would kind of guide you to wait a little longer before starting potty training. Also, you know, if you have other events happening in your life that would make starting potty training even more stressful than it needs to be, you know, like if you're having a new baby around the same time your child's turning two, or if you're moving to a new house, or if your child's just starting school for the first time, obviously we don't want to throw too many changes on a two-year-old all at one time. So in some of those cases too, it also makes more sense to just kind of wait. So I don't want parents to hear that two-year age window and be like, oh my gosh, we totally missed the mark. Like, our child's 2.5, our child's 3, our child's 3.5. We haven't started yet. We've totally screwed up. And that's not the case at all. So a lot of times it just has to be like a family decision and what feels right as the family, because a lot of it is also about the parents' readiness too. And I think that's something that we kind of downplay. You always hear about signs of readiness for the child, but you have to be ready too, because you're doing most of the work, in all honesty. Like, you have to be prepared as your child's teacher and coach to help them learn this skill. And if that, you know, isn't all happening right around the same time, then it's going to be that much more difficult. So in some cases, it does just make more sense to start either earlier or later, whatever fits well into your family's timeline. And the course applies to anybody. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, somebody that's a parent of a new two-year-old. It can work for a parent with an 18-month-old that wants to start learning how to potty train. It can work with a parent who has a 4.5-year-old who is struggling to use the potty. So there's a lot of my strategies and techniques and approaches to the process can be applied across all age groups and all different personality types too.
That's great. So your course is about $35, and there's another bundle that you can get that has all the educational and background information as well. And it has literally scripts that you could talk to your kid with verbatim, so that you're encouraging and keeping them on the right track. It has an equipment list that you'll need, like the little training potties.
Changed the game for us.
Hugely. We found the right one that Drew loved.
Yes, the little pink one that like folds.
Yeah, I love that one.
Drew,
it makes all the difference,
that's her
you know?
Favorite one.
It's so cool because it gives her a little bit of independence to like be able to do it herself. So,
oh, she's in the phase now where she doesn't let us come in the bathroom.
She closes the door, the whole thing. It's like
hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, she says she needs her space.
Anyway.
She's too much.
Yeah. And then it has like calendars and sticker charts and the whole thing. So if you are listening and have a kid who's approaching the age of 2-ish or not that age, but you're in the potty training process.
Or if you're a new mom or like anything, I would just, people try to buy like potty training books that you would spend $30 on. I would buy this.
Yeah. We'll link information on that down below. Potty Training 101. Thank you, Allison. And you also, speaking of books, have written three yourself. Is that right?
I have. Yes. Wow. I have two children's books and one parent guide. Super proud of those, especially my newest book, because pooping on the potty is one of the biggest challenges that parents encounter during the potty training process. And there's not a ton of like children's literature out there kind of addressing that. And so I decided to write my own book about it. And I've always loved writing. So being able to have my own books has been like a dream come true. It's been so cool.
Wow. They're illustrated and everything.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's actually how we first connected, was she sent, you were so kind to send us a book. Thank you, Allison.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, I did.
What is your favorite thing about what you do?
Oh gosh, my favorite thing is getting text messages from parents who had been previously struggling with potty training, and they're like, oh my God, she pooped in the potty, or like just being able to like celebrate those small wins. I think that as parents, we never expected to struggle with.
Yeah.
And then we realize like, oh my gosh, this is really hard. And then they reach out to me, and I don't know, I really like to develop like a relationship, a friendship with the families that I help, and just being there to kind of cheerlead them through the process and to get to share in those small wins that you're not necessarily going to call up like, you know, your local mom group and be like, my kid pooped in the potty today. Like, it's just, you know, it's kind of like that little personal connection. And just being able to help so many people has been such a fulfilling experience, I think, way more than any other career path I could have chosen. So it's been awesome.
Dude, she's been featured on like Good Morning America, moms.com, like all the, you're like big time, Allison. So we're grateful.
Thank you for
joining us on the show and
yes.
Talking to us about this subject. Thank you for helping us potty train our oldest and eventually our second. And then I also just appreciate your encouraging approach. Like, I feel like there are some hard line, like, you know, just get it done. And I love your perspective on this issue. And anyway, thank you for sharing it with us.
No, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. And again, we will link information on the course down below for those listening that want to learn more. And also, Allison put out some awesome social content. So we'll link information to our Instagram, etc., in the description. But that's all we got. Allison, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today. All right. If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners. And some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.